time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Today's show is all about wetlands. I'm going to talk about their importance and their beauty. Yes, I did say beauty. Hiking along in some of the wetlands, they're some of my most favorite hikes. And as I share that with you, some of you are going to go like, are you serious? So let me give you this short little story. One day I'm speaking in front of a group of eighth graders. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a word and you give me the first word that comes to your mind about it. So I said the word swamp. Everything they came up with was yucky, icky, smelly, or something said like swamp monster and things, you know, fun little things. But they were like, there was nothing good about it. Today, I'm going to delve into the four types of wetlands, tell you, okay, so why they're wetlands, how they're connected. And then I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. And I'm going to talk to you, you know, towards the end about why we must protect these wetlands. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Let's get into the four types of wetlands. So the first thing is, well, how do we define a wetlands? They are defined by the type of plants and soil and the presence of water. Did you notice that there were three things? The last one was the presence of water. The first one were the types of plants, then soil type, then the presence of water. Because in some wetlands, water is not present all year long. And people go, well, then how could it be wetlands? Well, then we define it by the first two, plants and soil type. Because it's funny, I could be driving along down a road and just look. And again, one of my degrees is in botany. I can look, I can see and go, okay, that's wetlands. People go, how do you know? Well, just by the type of plants. You've got periods, you know, that will dry out for a little bit. And, you know, there's always some transitional zone, you know, the terrestrial, the land, you know, the aquatic systems that go along with it, the ponds and the rivers and the lakes. So let's delve into the four types of wetlands. The first one is a marsh. And a marsh is a wetland that's dominated by herbaceous vegetation. You get this big word, herbaceous. Well, think about herbs. Well, think about, and I'll just say it this way, a tomato plant. You can take a tomato plant and you can bend it because by definition, herbaceous is soft and green and can be bent. No, I am not saying that marshes are dominated by tomato plants. No, but now just put a picture in your mind. Your blade of grass, you bend it soft and green and can be bent, herbaceous. So marshes are dominated by it. And a lot of times you'll be driving along and you will see these, it looks like these huge, huge plumes on the top, like, and they are giant reed grass. And many wetlands, not all, but many wetlands have the giant reed grass. And, hey, we're talking about some of them are 7 to 9 feet tall. And you know what? In the fall, when the plumes, they begin to turn colors, and the plumes really are the seeds on the top, they really are very pretty looking. So we have so many different wetlands that are marshes. Now, the next two, I'll call them cousins. One is a bog. Yeah, you've heard of the word bog before. And it says it's a peat accumulating wetland with no water outflow. So let's talk about first thing is, well, peat. Well, you've heard of peat moss. Some of you will actually go to a nursery, one that sells plants, not kids. Always my little joke there. And you go out and you buy peat moss or sphagnum moss. And this is actually what happens is, so as plants are dying inside of here and settling to the bottom, and as it settles to the bottom and begins to decay, and that becomes the peat or the sphagnum moss that's in there. And actually, it's the sphagnum moss that's dying and going in there. Well, a fen, his cousin, is a peat accumulating wetland with some water outflow. So the real simple little difference is if you needed to know the difference, you're hiking along. If you find no water outflow, you're in a bog. You find a little outwater flow, then you know you're in a fen. And then the fourth one is a swamp. And a swamp is the one that we typically, you know, we know. You know, again, movies and I don't know, because I'm not a movie guy, horror things and swamps and smelly and, well, all those other words, I guess, eighth graders or adults could come up with. Now, watch this one. Swamps are dominated by tree and shrub species. And people go, well, what do you mean tree? Hey, I have hiked in a swamp all day long, Great Swamp National Refuge, 10,000 acres, hiked all day long and never touched water. And you go, well, guess what? Because if there's trees and shrubs, there's dry land attached to, you know, going throughout. I mean, is there water in the swamp? Well, the answer is yes. And the cool thing about the Great Swamp National Refuge, which I do like hiking, and as I was saying to you before, one of my favorite hikes, you know, in the swamps, and they've actually built boardwalks out over some of the water areas, and the boardwalks are really cool because if you're really quiet, soft-footed on there, you'll see every frog, you'll see snakes hunting. It really is a magnificent place. It's not just reptiles and amphibians, because in the swamp, I have seen beautiful herds of deer and turkey and all this, but I am a snake guy. I love to see snakes out in the wild, especially hunting and all. And it's just one of the places that I've been to. And then when I was in Minnesota doing my wolf research out there, I was in a type of wetland all day long because the wolves, they just love to go through wetlands. You know, Minnesota's license plate says land of 10,000 lakes. I actually believe it should say land of 10,000 blood-sucking mosquitoes. Sorry for the folks that live out there. But when we were in the wetlands tracking wolves, we were bit by mosquitoes. You could have played connect the dots on my body. That's how many times I got bitten up over there. And one of the cool things is there were some eutrophic lakes on there. Eutrophic lake's pretty cool deal. It is over time, so think about a lake, and over time the edges, some plants begin to grow out on the edge and then continue to grow. So as time and soil gets blown in and you get more plant, and all of a sudden, when I say all of a sudden, probably took 1,000 years, all of a sudden the top of the lake is actually covered with plant. And don't try this, but think about walking on a bowl of Jell-O. And the wolves, they would walk right across this. So we would be out tracking wolves across the eutrophic lake. If you broke through, you would get dead. And I hear getting dead is not a good thing, so I tried not to do that. Well, so one of the days, and I know that I'm regressing from the topic, but this is a worthwhile deal. I'm with a group of scientists. The only way to get around through there happens to be via canoe. So we'd have to do a lot of portaging canoe from one wetland to another as we're tracking the wolves. There's specific packs of wolves that we would be tracking. So as we're going along, so I am portaging a canoe. So I have a backpack on my back and I have a canoe on top of my head. And all I'm doing is following the scientist's feet in front of me. When I say feet, I'm looking at many feet, you know, I'm just following wherever they're going. And somewhere someone stops. And when they stopped, a nest of yellow jackets were right next to it, and somebody must have kicked it, and they were coming up, and they were stinging me between my backpack. There was an airspace between my backpack and my back, and I'm just getting stung unmercifully. Well, number one, I can't just drop the canoe, because if I drop the canoe, it makes a hole, and I go through, maybe another scientist, and we get dead. That's not a good thing. I can't run, because if you run, you'll break through this. So I am now going, someone, please help me. Someone, please help me. Well, if you remember Charlie Brown, anytime his mother would talk or a teacher would talk or something, you'd hear wah, 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 wah. Then I realized that all they're hearing when I'm going, someone help, please help, I got a canoe on my head. So they're going, all they're hearing is wah, 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 wah. And then someone turns around and goes, oh my goodness, look, he's getting stung. Yes, and I did get stung. So Joey B did get stung, and I'd say 40 or 50 times. And I was not allergic to bees. But since that time, I am now allergic to bees, carry an EpiPen around with me. I didn't swell that much then, and because I was manly, I know, really didn't swell that much. But now today, swelling much larger. But there's my eutrophic lake story. So now let's go back to, and I'll put into a couple different places where we can talk about some of the wetlands and some of the things that we need to do better as a society. So let's go over to the Meadowlands. And this is an area where I grew up in, so my knowledge of the area is pretty good. So let's talk Meadowlands for a little bit. And if you don't know, that's where MetLife Stadium is. And there used to be an arena there that they've since closed, and they're building a hideous-looking shopping mall. Just what we need is another shopping mall. So let's talk about the Meadowlands. And people always talk about the Meadowlands as being a swamp, and it is not a swamp. And you go, well, how do you know? Well, I'm going to tell you it's a marsh. We go, how do you know? Well, if you remember, a marsh is dominated by herbaceous vegetation. Can't speak. I'll speak a little slower. And there's giant reed grass throughout, so you could tell right away. But through succession, it used to be a swamp thousands of years ago. Buried below the actual meadowlands is there are Atlantic white cedars, Camiciprostoides to you botanists out there. Well, the Atlantic white cedar, they are buried in the soil sediment, all right? So the sediments that have covered, so they're covered over. The crazy thing about Atlantic white cedars is they grow real slow. And some of these trees are 700 years old, and the rings are real tight on it, so the wood is worth a lot of money. So if you were able to dig up that swamp, pull out those trees, they would be preserved and worth millions and millions. Except the problem is there are all the pollutants that are in that sediment. And if you were to dig up the sediment, you would repollute the entire meadowlands. So you can't get them, you know, you can't get, hey, if you come up with a way, please let me know. We'll do that together. We'll make a bajillion dollars. But I'm sure you also know that this show is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. Have you seen the new Joey B Signature Series? Well, if not, then go to tranquilitymountain.com. This is where adventures begin. Also, if you have a question, maybe you want to tweet me about this show or a topic for a news show, you can tweet me at Joey B News. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E-E News. Now, going back to the show, well, here's the deal with this. There are ways in which people have figured out how to get wood, submerged lumber. And I'll give you a cool one. I know it's not about wetlands, but it's probably one of the cooler stories. So again, I am a big note taker. So in my notes, I have this story here. So I'm going to share this story with you. So 1700s, 1800s near the Great Lakes, they are harvesting wood and getting to go down river or go down Great Lake and get into a mill. Well, over time, some of them got waterlogged and were submerged and went to the bottom. Well, about 10, 15 years ago, a couple divers are diving down. Let me tell you, some of the Great Lakes, and I've been on them in a canoe in like 500 feet of water, and that's not even the deep part. Anyway, so divers see that these trees are submerged at the bottom, and they are preserved down there. So one of them comes up with a cool idea. You know, when you put little swimmies on your arm when you're a little kid? Well, he created swimmies for trees. And on a little, I guess, explosive device, you hit it, and all the swimmies popped at the same time, and the trees floated to the top, and they were able to harvest this wood, and this wood was worth millions of dollars. That's why I give you that story in relationship to the meadowlands and the Atlantic white cedars. So here's the deal. If you want to, say you're purchasing 5 acres of land, and you want to build a house on it, and there are some wetlands on it, and you want to fill the wetlands in, well, the government says, oh, you can't do that. They said, and the word we use, I'm sure you know in law you hear the word litigation. Well, this is called mitigation. And when it comes to wetlands, we mitigate. And the government will say to you, okay, you want to build on that house and 2 acres is wetlands and you want to fill that in. Well, you need to build wetlands somewhere else or pay to have it built somewhere else. And you need to pay and have 3 acres. And again, you mitigate. And you say, no, 2 acres and whatever it is. Okay, 2.5. Well, you know, so we don't want to have wetlands just filled in. And that's what mitigation is. And the only group that does not have to mitigate, which is crazy, is the government. So they tell you that you have to, but in the meadowlands. The meadowlands, well, let's put it this way. It was a marsh. So what do? We leveled it out. We put the original Giants stadium in there. Now it's MetLife because the Jets and Giants play together. We built a racetrack. We built a stadium. We built an arena. We built, now they're building a mall. And they don't mitigate. So how is this, like, again, I don't get this. Like, how is this possible? So now let's go to taking away wetlands. And, oh, I just gave you a major one there. But let's go down south. Well, in the north, we have permanent residents of geese and ducks that we never had before. You go, well, why? Because in the south, we have filled in wetlands, you know, I'm going to say over the last 25 years. And here you are, you are Joey Goose, and you're flying south for the winter, and you get to where you should be migrating to, whether you've been there before or instinct. And by the way, on other shows, I actually really teach what instinct really is, because we always use the word instinct and just say, oh, that's instinct. But I do teach about it. And you get there, and as you get there, all of a sudden you go, oh, it's not here anymore because we filled it in. We built strip malls or whatever we built there. So as we're taking away wetlands there, well, some geese are going, well, hey, well, I'm not going south anymore. I was flying south, and they stopped in a town of, I'll just call it town X. And they stopped in town X and going, hey, it's a pretty cool place. And I've got dopey people here that throw bread to me. You know, I've seen signs, literally it says, do not feed the geese, whatever. And the sign, and you'll see a person with a bag of bread throwing bread. And the reason why I say is geese typically don't eat bread is I've never seen wild bread. So since I haven't seen wild bread, we're not supposed to feed wild animals. And yes, they are. And that's one of the reasons why they don't want to. It's like, why would I'm going to go anywhere if you're going to give me food and I got a permanent place? But we're taking those. Think about this. We've changed migration patterns over the last 100,000 years in 10 and 25 years because we're taking away wetlands. I'll give you, and it's not wetlands, but I'll give you just a, so you understand this. There's a National Elk Refuge out in Wyoming, and I've been there. In the wintertime, 10,000 elk come out of the mountains and are in a National Wildlife Elk Refuge. And we feed them. Now, think about this. We're feeding 10,000 elk. Each of them eats 8 pounds of food per day. So think about how crazy. So, I mean, it's beautiful to see. And it's next to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, one of my favorite places. I'm out west all the time doing research and just playing out there with the fly rod, of course. But so I just want you to be aware of, you know, there are problems that we create. And again, in this case, the National Elk Refuge, we do take care of it. But by taking away wetlands, we are taking away a key word, biodiversity. Biodiversity, remember, refers to the different types of life on Earth. And the place with the most biodiversity on Earth happened to be wetlands. We spoke about the four different types of wetlands. So this is an area where we need to protect, because if there are so many species that are there, and they often describe biodiversity like this, it's a huge jigsaw puzzle. So if you're putting a huge jigsaw puzzle together and you're getting excited, and as you're putting it together, and I take a piece when you're not looking out, and I take a piece, and all of a sudden you go to put the puzzle together and there's three or four pieces that are missing. Well, as we kill off species on Earth, that's what's happening. The puzzle can never be connected together. And so you also realize, as humans, because biodiversity refers to all living things on Earth, we are part of that puzzle. So as we take away things, we are connected to it. So we need to protect biodiversity. And I'm going to give you two groups that are out there that are very interested in taking care of wetlands. And one of them happens to be Ducks Unlimited. And you know something? They actually create, they will build new wetlands. And Ducks Unlimited, they're hunters. And whether you agree with hunting or not, that's no bearing. Think about this. They are doing, see, my job is to give you both sides of equations, and then you figure out, you know, what your thoughts are, your feelings are. Well, they are out there and they are building wetlands. Hey, does it help the duck population for what they want to do? Yeah, but guess what? They are creating places where there is more biodiversity. That is an awesome thing. And then a group I belong to, Trout Unlimited, TU. Trout Unlimited, not the greatest builder of new wetlands, but they want to protect their goal. And this is what Trout Unlimited teaches our youth across America. There's a program they have, Trout in the Classroom, where they will actually come and they will donate, because I've done this in a local school. You donate $1,000 worth of gear, where the kids will actually raise trout all year long. You contact your state, because it goes through your actually Fish and Wildlife, and they will tell you exactly where you can release them. And they talk about the only place a trout can live in is in clean water. So they are teaching kids the importance of clean water. So learning about biodiversity, learning about clean water, learning about creating new wetlands, and protecting the biodiversity that's there. And I'm going to say this to you. If you have never gone for a walk or a hike in a wetlands, you have to, because you go there and you're going to see some things. Hey, some of you may see something. Maybe it's that snake hunting. Maybe it's a turkey, whatever it is. Great place for owls, owling inside of there. I do work with the Audubon Society, and I do some of the owl counts in some Hatfield Swamp, a couple of other places. There are some spectacular things going on in the wetlands. So the next time you can get out on your next outdoor adventure, think about the wetlands. They are a great place to be. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure.
That was awesome.